from Isaiah. It's one of those things where the Lord doesn't just fill your cup, but it's overflowing. And so I thought we could catch some of that overflow this morning. And so I asked them if they would come to share a little bit about how what God spoke into their heart at the conference. And so let's do it this way. Let's have a big round of applause as they're coming up.
Christmas break, I had the opportunity to go to Cross Conference. It's a missions conference. And before this conference, I really didn't consider missions for myself. But things changed. And I hope this, I'm just going to talk about some of the things I learned. I hope it encourages and maybe challenges you as well. My favorite speaker probably was Matt Chandler. He talked about suffering for Christ and for the gospel. And that's an outward action, but it has to come from the heart. And he used Philippians 1:21, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul, who said this, wasn't a nobody who had nothing to live for. This is a big statement from one who, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had persecuted Christians proactively. He had preached the gospel to Lydia, who was a successful businesswoman and had a large house and had many servants and sold purple cloth, which was rare. He preached the gospel to the jailer and all the intellects that he argued with, and even his own personal achievements spiritually were paths he could have taken and things he could have worshipped. But he says to live is Christ. And in the same way, culture nowadays dumps a bunch of lies into our lives about what it is to live and what we should worship. Paul says to live is Christ, and God's purpose for our lives is to enjoy Christ and treasure him above all else, and it gives God glory when we do this. So a lot of times, as Christians, it's true in my life, we reform this statement to live is my version of Christ. It's to live as Jesus and money, to live as Jesus and being cool and having friends. What if we just believe that statement and believe to live is Christ? Paul, he had seen and experienced all these other ways that people choose to live, and he says, no, Christ is better. That's just something God's been working on with me and in my life. Just waking up every day and saying, God, you're better. You're better than anything else the world has to offer. Second part of that verse, to die is gain. I feel like a lot of Christians don't really think about this much, but 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." What if we believed this and woke up every day and said, if I die today, it's gain, because I get to be with you, and you're my treasure. And that was the heart of missions that God's been working on in my life. And then comes action out of the heart. Things they stressed were that God's doing the work. He's doing missions. He's claiming people out of the nations. And he's going to do it regardless of what we're doing. It's his work. But in a weird, weird twist of take your kid to work day, he invites us to be part of that and to join in that mission for his glory. And it's not like we're valuable when we bring anything to the salvation process. We only bring our sin. And he still invites us to join in that. And no matter how smart we think we are, or how many years we've been attending church, if God uses us, it's in spite of all those things, and not because of them. I didn't really consider missions, and God working on my heart told me not to be afraid, because mission sounds scary. It doesn't sound fun, leaving friends, leaving family, leaving just the comforts. But he worked on me, and I was able to surrender my heart to God. And right now I don't think he's calling me to missions. They talk about two kinds of people, senders and goers. Goers being the missionaries who go to other nations, and senders being the ones who stay and support financially and pray for the nations and pray for the missionaries. And right now, at least, I believe that's what God's calling me to. But just because we aren't going out into nations, all of us are called to disciple. Jesus' call to disciple is for everyone, in Matthew 28. And this is something I struggle with just because I grew up in a Christian home. I'm homeschooled. All my friends know about Jesus already. One of the things that encouraged me was there were missionaries there who talked about their experiences and how they came to Jesus. And a lot of them grew up in Christian homes. But it just never really clicked for them until someone shared the gospel with them in a different way or something. And that was encouraging to me just because some of my friends, their faith probably isn't their own yet. It's their parents still, or it's just what they do on Sundays. And that encouraged me that I can still be sharing the gospel with them and let God work in their lives. They talk about gospel threads to weave in and out of conversation. You don't have to be, hey, can I talk to you about the gospel for an hour, but just talk about the character of God, the sinfulness of man, the sufficiency of Christ, the necessity of faith, and the urgency of eternity. They also touch briefly on a mission of the church, and I think sometimes in the United States, the church is where we just invite people to hear the gospel. And I feel like, and they talked about how some people won't come to church, that it won't work for everyone. And a better way to bring the gospel to people would be equipping disciples in the church to better share their faith so they can go out into all their spheres of influence and bring the gospel to people. Because some people won't come to church. Obviously, coming back from a conference like this, such a spiritually awesome time for me. I'm just afraid it'll wear off and I'll go back into the motions of life. But Jude 1:24 through 25 says, "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, authority, to Jesus Christ our Lord, for all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." Just knowing that God has me, and I've been praying this for myself and for you guys, just let us fall in love with God. And that when we start worshiping Jesus and other things, that He would just call us back, even when we're not looking for Him. Like, Paul wasn't looking for God on the road to Damascus, but God came and just humbled him and showed him Jesus. So, there's videos online from the conference if you would like to check those out. But that was just a great time and some of the things God has been teaching me.
I'm shy, but I'm thrilled to be here. I was at the conference as well, and I had to share a story not unlike Isaiah and Jake. I don't think I went to the conference thinking, well, I'm going to go to Laos next or anywhere else, but I just wanted to see a little bit more of Christ and what options, you know, other people could have. It was wonderful. If you do want to go see on the website, CrossCon, C-O-N, and then probably a .com. But David Platt and Matt Chandler and John Piper and Kevin Young and to BD somebody else. There was just a lot of great speaking, teaching. Thank my boys for encouraging me and challenging me. I have a quick story. Again, I don't think I'm called to be a cross-cultural, new continent missionary. But that conference challenged me much in being bold for Christ, loving Christ so much that I'm willing to be on it, stand in front of you folks today. So the story goes, I love doing new things, and I wanted to go out to breakfast at Subway, which was local, and I could see really clearly from the 14th floor of the hotel. And we did that, we attempted to do that one morning, and we ended up walking many, many blocks and talking to locals saying, where's this Subway where we can get an inexpensive breakfast? And we ended up going 15 blocks, 12 blocks, the wrong way and out of the way. And when we got there, Subway was closed. They didn't open in the morning on a Sunday morning. But we went to McDonald's, and my heart hurt. It was an amazing place, and I didn't know what to do. Actually, it was Saturday. There were handfuls of homeless people standing outside the McDonald's, in the McDonald's, discussing with the clerks about refills, and they just wanted some place to be. And again, I didn't know what to do. And I was sad, and it was an uncomfortable breakfast for me. And I think it was for the boys as well. And then going and spending the day at that conference and listening to our calling to share the gospel. And that's the one way to say it. And it was convicting. And the next morning, Sunday morning, I let the boys go to the conference, and I just said, I'm going to breakfast, and I'm going to go back to McDonald's. And then my goal was to just sit and talk and challenge myself to see if there was something, anything I could do. I can't buy breakfast for 15 guys, and I don't know what that would do for them besides give them a breakfast. Many women. So again, I just challenged myself, and I went to McDonald's, and I got myself a coffee, and somebody asked me about the Baltimore Colts, because I had my Indianapolis Colts hat on. You could tell he was homeless. And I just said, man, can I sit with you and just talk? And I sat with the fellow for about a half hour, and a couple other homeless people, a guy and a lady came up and joined the conversation a little bit. And I didn't do anything. I mean, I didn't fix anything. But I was blessed just in talking and listening and asking questions about, gosh, how do you folks get to a place that looks like you're down on your luck? What can people do? If I, you know, am called to be helpful, to serve you, how can I do that? And again, I talked about the Cross Conference and why I'm here, and just being honest and listening and talking with these three people. And again, there were, that morning there was another 15 or 20 people who were clearly homeless. I think what I learned in the conference was, again, being relational, spending time. I'm convinced me sharing the good news of the gospel that day, you know, in 5 minutes, wouldn't have done anything, except maybe annoy the people. But I think building a relationship and encouraging them, and I can't do that with people in Louisville, but I can do that with people in Danville and in Lansing and elsewhere close to me. I can build more relationships and be bold with my faith. And I think I'm called to that. And it was rewarding, and it was sad, and I cried many times before that second visit and afterwards, listening to more of the conference. The one scripture that motivated me quite a bit was Matthew 24:14. And I think we're all called to this. Matthew 24:14, Christ is saying, and this is the gospel of the kingdom, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And that really struck me, that I have to be out there preaching the gospel, because everyone is going to hear the gospel, and then the end will come. And I like what Isaiah said. We get to be a part of that. I'm still shy. It's still uncomfortable. It's still a challenge. And it's still rewarding.
I wish that I had prepared something better for what they say. But another thing, the verse that Isaiah shared about to live as Christ and to die as gain impacted me greatly as well. That's not a mindset you'll find in the earth right now. That's not a mindset you'll find in kids my age right now. To live as Christ and to die as gain, that is a bold statement. And like I said, it impacted me greatly. Missions is not something I would have thought about as well. I don't know many people who automatically think of missions. I just don't. We get caught in everyday lives and our own plans, especially for me. As a senior, I'm trying to get ready for college. I'm trying to get ready to impress people and, you know, going to the prestigious college, or you're trying to get good grades and impress your grandparents. I don't even, that's what I'm trying to do right now, or I was trying to do. And there's so much more to life. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's not your education, it's not your job, it's not your wife or your girlfriend or your, it's none of that. To live is Christ, and there's nothing that's going to surpass that. And like Isaiah said, another thing that impacted me was, if God uses you, it's going to be in spite of your talents or your gifts or what you bring to the table. It's going to be in spite of that and not because of it. Again, getting ready for college and taking ACT stuff and just in general, life gets really hectic. And trying to bring stuff to the table, like your leftovers or your scraps, as you pull what you have at the end of the day, you try to pull it together and do a quick Bible reading or something. That's not what God's going to use. He's going to use you to spread His gospel in spite of anything that you have, anything you own, anything you've earned. He's going to use in spite of that. It's going to be all sufficient in Him. And I'm not sure at this point if God is calling me personally to become a missionary cross-culturally. But I'm not ruling out that possibility. I don't believe anyone really should until they clearly hear from God that you are a sender. Because I think it's just a crazy opportunity we have. And if you're not a cross-cultural missionary, to simply spread the gospel in your own community with your own friends. That's such a blessing and a gift that God gives us. And I don't think we see it as that. I don't think we see it as a gift that He gives us to do. And it definitely is. Maybe He's calling you or me to be a missionary. Maybe He's calling us to be a pastor. Maybe a road worker. But whatever He's calling you to or me to, it's going to be for His glory and to further His kingdom. And I think that's something we should definitely focus on. So thank you.
All right, well, here's what I'd like to do. we're going to skip past the children's sermon. I guess, can you all just assume that it would have been funny and thoughtful and you would have been deeply impacted? Can you all just give me that? All right, good. All right. We're going to, for time, we're going to do that this morning. And we're going to take up our offering. Susie, if you'd like to do Sunday school, I know there's a couple that, you know, I want to stay to hear something. So during the offering, if you'd like, Susie will be going back for Sunday school. And if you're visiting with us here today, please don't feel obligated to give in this way. Abigail, could you come help us with our offering this morning? And Isabel, could you help her also? That about her singing and traveling around and speaking, and so was delighted that she was able to come here and share with us. And so please I will take no longer time other than to say help me in welcoming Cherie Kepler this morning.
I'll tell you what, if we had no other, if the service ended right here this morning, I'm filled. I don't know about you. How encouraging it is, especially to hear young people on fire for the Lord. You know, we all have a purpose in life and a destination and what it is that we're supposed to do. And that's basically what I do is I travel around. It's nice to say I'm Cherie Pepper and I'm from Danville. You know, I've been known to hop a plane and go somewhere distant, or usually I travel within 2 or 3 hours and people say, where is Danville? And I have to say, south of Lansing. I don't like to say that, but it's a blessing. That was me. I don't think I had plugged in on the way. It's just a blessing and a pleasure to be here with you this morning, to share with you. I'll be sharing some songs off my new album. And I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, we all have gifts and talents, and sometimes we have gifts and talents that we don't consider gifts and talents. I grew up singing and writing songs and making beats and little messes, and now here I am, later in life, actually writing songs that glorify God, making necklaces that can share His love. My husband, who, you know, coaches and loves running, his love of running, now he's able to pour out through his running career and through coaching and his horseshoeing career. He's not a very verbal person. I'm not shy. I can sometimes say more than I should. But he's not a verbal person. So, you know, he can say to himself, how can I go out in the world? How can I evangelize? I can't tell you how many of his clients he's just handed one of my CDs to, and he has blessed their day. Just, you know, a song can just touch universally. I just heard, I don't know why the Lord wants me to share this. I hope I can remember. Don't you hate that when he tells you something and then you're like, okay, there's 3 things that are universal. Everyone in the world knows these 3 words. Hallelujah. Amen. And Coca-Cola. But through 3 words, we know what that means. You know, through music, we can touch another person's heart. You know, and nowadays, in this life, it is a different world. It is a much, much more different world. Even my kids tell me, they're like, Mom, you better be so happy we turned out okay, because this world really is a lot different than when you guys grew up. And I look at all these faces here that were such an encouragement to me. You know, Daniel in basketball, and Coach Voss, and the Hodgsons, and Gabby and Anna. I mean, Gabby wouldn't have thought that she was that much of an encouragement to me, but as I was running with them in cross country, I would say thanks to Gabby and Anna to try to help them along. Well, I didn't realize that by encouraging them and seeing them do it, it was helping myself. And then after I would run, I would hear these words in my mind. Isn't this what I told Gabby? You know, God works in many, many different ways. And I just want to challenge you this year to get out of your comfort zone. You know, if somebody puts you on a spot, just do it. Like, I'm going to put your pastor on the spot and ask him to play drums. Would you play drums for me for the first 2 songs? Because,
I'll try and guess.
See this humble response that he gives you. I don't know if you realize this, but pastor's a very good drummer. My only problem is sometimes I start the song too fast, so let me just maybe start a little bit and then come in. But it is a different world that we live in. We can all make a difference in some way in this different world. I was just a little child when daddy told me, girl, you stand your ground. Every day I would go down at 3 o'clock in the morning and write songs. This was the very first song that I had written for the album. Even my husband is like, I don't know how you do it. I'm running 6 miles a day. I'm working full time. I'm literally sleeping 3 to 4 hours a night. I felt fantastic. Well, looking back now, that was God. He wanted this thing done. You know, he can make a way. When you think there's no way, you know, I was a little annoyed, I will tell you, that, you know, it's like, really, 3 o'clock again? I mean, exactly, on the dot, 3 o'clock. Not 3:01, 3:02, 3 o'clock in the morning. So now that the album is out and all the amazing things that happened with it, I understand now why he told me to stand in faith, because this was way bigger than me. And he obviously had something to say, and he had something he wanted to do. I'm just the conduit that he used to get it done. And, you know, what a blessing it is to just be able to glorify him through what it is that he's given me, through my talent, through the creation that he made in me. So I just want to encourage you to stand in faith, no matter what it is. If it's something big, if it's something little, if it's that test that you have to study for, you can do it. With you to make you cry, although you might cry. I know, I just, I won't be able to look at you either. But I want to, the Lord wants me to do this song because now I'm to the point in my life where I can do it. It's been, what, 16 years since she's gone home to be with the Lord. And, you know, I never really cried when she went home to be with the Lord. I didn't because I was with her the day that the Lord took her away, and I knew that she was in a glorious, much better place than I am. Sure, I miss her, but when I do this song, sometimes my husband cries, so he's better off to just go have his coffee. But I want to do this song because I want to encourage you that this life is not it. And I want you to think about that special loved one that you know has gone home to be with the Lord, and just think about those times. Think about those wonderful times growing up, and just be encouraged that you will see them again. 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us that we will be reunited. Realm where it's not when I was writing for the album, this was one of the first songs that I had written. And it was, the album was not even complete yet when four of the tracks got submitted to, yes, dear, you can come in now. Yes. I don't think you've ever heard this song acoustically. You can come in. You don't have to pretend like you're reading the... Okay. But before the tracks were completed, my studio guy was, you know, passing the tracks to some other people, and it ended up getting in the hands of someone that was on a Grammy committee. And he was able to get the album, as well as this song, submitted for acceptance for Grammy nomination for 2014, before the album was even done. And I guess that's rather unheard of. But looking back, this is God working. And when I had heard that, the album wasn't even completed yet, I asked the Lord, it's like, why this song? Of all the songs that you could have chosen, of all the people, what is it about this song? And he said, I just want to have a relationship with you. That's all I want. And I want your heart. I want you to talk to me every day. And I want you to know that I am never going to leave you. I am never going to forsake you. And I am certainly never going to let you go. And it's okay to cry out to me. You know, when you're having a hard time, just say, Jesus. Jesus, I need you. Hey, something's going on here. And the other thing he told me is when you use the name of Jesus, of course, it is something we know, but there's such power in the name of Jesus. So it's just kind of funny how this song has Jesus in it, like, I don't know, having it counted like 29, 30 times, the name of Jesus. So there's power. So I'd like to do this song for you today. It's called Jesus, Jesus.
This fire.
you. Before I do it, the reason I made this song and title track was there's a pastor down in, I think it was Fremont, Indiana, Lutheran pastor. Of course, Lutherans do things a little different. I go into pretty much any Christian denomination church, and I'm like Gumby. I can, you know, do whatever the pastor would like. Well, a lot of times I don't call until a couple of days before, and, you know, get the schedule of the service. And so I had called him on a Wednesday, and a friend of mine had booked me there. And so this pastor had no idea what I did, I think. So I get him on the phone, and he's like, okay, I want you to start out with a praise and worship song. And I'm like, okay, I don't do praise and worship, but I'll do my best. And then at the end, you know, pick a good benediction song. I'm sure you can, you know, okay, I can do that. He said, in the middle, the message is on the full armor of God. So I'm sure you can look around and find a song that has every component of the full armor of God in it, as well as, I'd like some fiery darts in there. And so he's getting very animated as he's asking me for this. This is on Wednesday. I didn't have a song on the full armor of God. Number one. Number two, I don't do other people's material, so obviously he didn't know this. So I just kind of said, well, we'll see what happens. I'll do my best. Well, I had a really busy week that week, and I remember, you know, it's okay to be bold with the Lord. It's okay to ask him things, and, you know, I need to hear something. Sometimes the answer is wait or no, but it's okay to ask him things. So I remember sitting down on a Thursday night, my only block of time to work on a song, and I just said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? We need the full armor of God. Luckily, I had the full armor of God in me because that's something I had prayed over my children. My prayer time is usually in the car. And so I knew that, so I didn't have to open the Bible and get to that verse. And it was just an amazingly prolific thing that happened. I sat down and I just said, this is the song you want to write. I have 35 minutes. And I told him that. I have 35 minutes. I kid you not, in 34 and a half minutes, the song was done. And I said, okay, I guess we've got a song for Sunday. Well, I feel that also deserved to make it for the title cut of the CD. Before I do this song, though, I would like to ask, if anyone, actually, let's start with page 10 and under. Does anyone know what book of the Bible the Apostle Paul talks about? Okay, I just gave it away. New Testament. Which book of the Bible the Apostle Paul talks about the full armor of God, putting on the full armor of God? Does anybody know? No guessing. At page 10 and under first. Any 10-year-olds? No? Okay. No, can't open my mouth. Any 12 and under? No? 14 and under? 14, okay.
So Ephesians?
It's in Ephesians. Awesome. Do you know what chapter on Ephesians?
The last one.
I think it is the last one. Are there six chapters in Ephesians? Okay, and verse. Ephesians 6, I think it starts around 11. You just want a CD. Anyway, if anyone would like to purchase my new CD, it's, yeah, sure. Let's have Pastor Young come back up and play a song he's never heard before in his life. So let's watch the Lord move through him. The new CD is $15. I always just want to say, because people email me later, they try to get this online on Amazon and iTunes, it's not there. It's $15, but you get a free praise CD with it if you choose to get it today. And then on top of that, if you want one of my earlier recordings for an extra $5, I call it my 3 for $20 deal. So you get 3 CDs for $20. But again, that's only here, not online. But one thing we have to do is we have to put on that full armor of God every single day of our life. Because the devil is roaming around and he wants to devour us, doesn't he? He's in this life. Those things are
earlier, there's stuff for sale back here. Let's imagine we're taking up the love offering. Whatever you're going to put in the love offering, just take it back there, and then you can get something with that. So everybody wins. This is how she helps support her ministry as she goes around the state and beyond, blessing congregations with her music. And I just appreciate everybody that spoke today, and as I think through removing the obstacles between us and God and making straight paths, I think of as the Sinibes went down to Kentucky and had their hearts opened up. They never even thought of missions before, or not in that way, and God drew them. And I think of Cherie as she's talking about being woke up at 3 in the morning. You know, how many times are we woken up by God? The alarm clock goes off in our life at an inconvenient time, and we want to hit snooze. I know I would, and I know I have. And in whatever way, God has been at arm's distance. I just encourage you to remove those barriers and embrace them fully. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for Cherie coming to be able to share with us. Thank you for those who were able to come out through the snow. I just ask for safety for those people that are on the road. God, that you would guide us and protect us. God, that you would build us up and do for each person according to their needs. Pray all this in your name, Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day. Hopefully we can see Cherie in the back, and we'll see you guys next week.
Can we stop this?